Let's look in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, very familiar scripture. The Bible said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You can be seated this morning. Lord, as we come to you today, we thank you for the singing. We thank you for the stirring in the heart today, and we thank you for being made free. Lord, I'm glad to be free today, and I thank you for that. Freedom's only in you. And I pray today, if there's somebody here that's bound by sin, I pray that they would come and trust you, Lord, for I know that you'll make them free today. Lord, we ask and pray that if there's somebody just needs some help, and Lord, as that's what we preach on today, I pray they'd find the help that is only in you. And Lord, we know that you can help your people today. We want to tell you again that we love you and thank you for loving us and thank you for Calvary. And we ask you to save that sinner that's nearest hell. Would you touch us from heaven now and anoint us afresh for all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look in the last three verses is what we preached on, I believe, the past week. We know that we have a great high priest. The Bible tells us in verse 14 that seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And I'm glad he is the high priest in the very fact that he took care of my sin. He paid the sin debt for my sin, and he intercedes on my behalf. And I'm glad because of him of what verse 14 at the end said that we preached about a month ago. He said, "Let us hold fast our profession." I'm glad because of him I can hold on to what I have believed in and trusted in because of what he done, because of the blood that was shed, and because of the work that was performed at Calvary. I can still believe and hold fast to my profession. And I think, the Apostle Paul said in the book of 2 Timothy, he said, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I know not only what I've believed, but who I believed it in. Amen. And put my trust in. We can keep trusting him and hold fast to our profession. Not some weak profession, not some unknown profession, but I'm glad tonight that this morning, I'm in the night time, in the morning, I'm glad that we can hold on to what we've trusted in him. And then it talks about how that he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Why? Because he came in a body just like ours and was tempted. We preached on that last Sunday night on temptation. But how that Christ came and was tempted just like me and you in the same flesh and in the same body. What was it in Philippians? He said, "But made of himself no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." He came just like me and you. I want you to understand that and grasp that this morning. That Jesus came in the same body. What was it in John chapter 1 when it talked about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14 he said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We've had his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so listen, the Son this morning knows what it's like to be you. Listen, there's a lot of people that'll come through and they'll pat you on the back and they'll tell you, "I understand what you're going through." And you know what? There's some people that'll know that. And there's some people that's been in the same shoes that you've been in. Maybe in sickness, maybe in a wayward child, maybe in a home that is in turmoil, or maybe in a job situation. They understand. But I'm telling you this morning, friend, there's one in heaven that understands everything me and you go through. He understands. Hey, can I tell you, why do you think he says in 1 Peter 5 and 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want you to understand. Are you with me this morning? Amen. All right. Just making sure. But listen. But then he told us this. He knows what it's like to be us. But I want you to look in verse 16. He begins to talk about that throne of grace. That we can come boldly to. And find mercy and grace. To help. In a time of need. Now if I could preach for just a little while, I want to preach on a very simple thought, but hopefully one that will help us greatly, is He's my help. And I'm glad today that I've got help, because if I didn't have help, I'd be in a mess. I'm going to tell you this morning, the Bible says Miss Kelly over here is my helpmeet. He gave her to me to help me, and that's what he done, and ladies, I was to be my help. And I want you to know that she's been a great help to me over the years. And I wouldn't be where I am today without her, without her encouraging, without her sometimes just being blunt. And believe it or not, she can be when she wants to be. Amen. She probably won't be that way with you, but she'll be that way with me. Amen. She'll just tell me how it is sometimes. And men, ain't that what we need sometimes? I don't need a loudmouth wife, but I need a wife that'll tell me the truth sometimes and say, hey, you need to think about this before you get headed down the wrong path right here. And I thank God for her. But the word help, listen, you know, you would think that the word help would be found a lot in the book of Job. You would think that he would cry out for help. You know that word help is only found four times in the book of Job. But when you come to the book of Psalms and you read about the psalmist of David over there, just that one word is found 40 times. Most you'll ever find it in the Bible is in the book of Psalms. The next 40 times in Psalms and 13 times in the book of Isaiah. If you ever read the story and understand David's life, he was a man that wanted God's help. He was a man that wanted. Was he not a man after God's own heart? Yep. Amen. Was he not a man that loved God even though he fouled up a handful of times, a couple of times? We know that. We know what he done with Bathsheba. We know that he had Uriah murdered. We know that he numbered Israel when he wasn't supposed to. We understand all that. But the Bible still says that he was a man after God's own heart. God chose him to be king. I'm not a Calvinist this morning, but God chose him knowing what he was going to do. And he still chose him to be king. But David, more than once, he cried out for help. I thought about this verse as I was studying in Psalms 94. The psalmist David said, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. He said, had God not come by and helped me, I'd have never made it. I'd have never made it through this life. I'd have never made it out of the pit. It would, whatever I was going through would have killed me had God not been my help. And then he went into the next verse and said, when I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. You know, he said, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I can think back over my short lifespan. I can think back where I begged God for help. And I can think about where He was hard to find. I'll deal with that here in a minute. But I'm going to tell you, there's been times that I begged God for help and He come by. And He showed up. He said, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. He began to think upon God. Now you may not be in a place where you need help this morning. And you praise the Lord for that. We all time need help. Don't misunderstand me. But there's times that we need help more than others. And I can think back through time and through my life that He has been ever evident and that to help me. And if you are not sitting in a place to where you're struggling or where you need Him to rush to your aid, well, there have been times I just need Him to rush to my aid. But if you're not in that place, I want you to say it. I want you to think back to a time where God was faithful and He come by and helped. We act a lot of times like we don't need any help. Or we act a lot of times like and God ain't going to be any help. But I'm going to tell you, if you know Him and you trust Him, He'll come by and help. He said, let us therefore. Why? Because He has been in our position. He does know what it's like to be us. He is our great high priest. So therefore we can go to the throne of grace. I thought about Hannah, and I'm getting ahead of myself in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Y'all know how much I love the story of Hannah when she wanted Samuel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, she had suffered with everything that she was suffering with. I mean, the Bible talks about how that, how her adversary, Peninnah, there, made her fret and worried her to death. You know, that fret, that word fret just means to rub away at. And, y'all know I talk about that worry stone that my great uncle gave me years ago that you just, it's just got a place rubbed in it that you can sit there and you can fret and worry, you know, put it in your hand. That's what you do. It's a fretting stone, you know. And it just rubs and it irritates you and it just works on you. And that's what trouble does, you know, a lot of times in our life. But listen, what she done was she finally got to the place where she just took it to the Lord. If you read 1 Samuel, you know that she was a woman of a sorrowful spirit. She cried out unto the Lord, and she gave everything to Him, just poured it out to Him. And you know, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know what's going to happen here. Here's what I want. And you know what? She just gave it to Him. You know, a lot of times, I'm still in the introduction, a lot of times God just wants you to give that stuff to Him. He wants you to quit trying to work on it. He wants you to quit worrying about it and just let Him deal with it. Why do we have such a hard time doing that? Why do we have such a hard time casting all our care, all our anxiousness, all our anxiety, all our trouble and our problems? Why do we struggle to just give it to Him? I do. Why do we do that? You know, He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But I want to look about, He's my help. Number one, He's my help in time of trouble. I think trouble is common to everybody, ain't it? I mean, Job said, man is born a woman is a few days full of trouble. And we preached on that Wednesday night, talking about suffering and all those things. If you was here with us, and that word trouble means to disturb or to agitate or to put into a confused motion. How many of us has ever been confused about what's going on in our lives? We don't understand why it is the way it is. We don't understand how we got to where we're at. We don't understand what's happening. We don't understand why God ain't provided like we thought that He ought to provide. We just don't understand what is happening. But this thing is wearing us out. It's wearing us out. And as much as we like to ignore trouble, it seems like that it just agitates us a lot of times. You ever tried to ignore trouble? You might be able to do it for a little while, but man, it just catches up with you, don't it? Let me say, if your heart's troubled about salvation, you can come and get saved today. I mean, you can get saved anytime. I mean, if you know you're lost and God's wanting you to get saved, you can get saved, man. Just like the preacher was talking about, whether at home, whether in church, whether in tent revival, it don't matter, vacation Bible school, it just don't matter. You can come and get saved. You know, He told His disciples in John 14, He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be what? Be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. You know, trouble brings fear sometimes, don't it? Trouble brings fear. Because we don't understand where this thing's going. I don't understand if really, in our lack of faith, and I'm going to deal with that, but listen, in our lack of faith sometimes, we fear what might come out of this. I've been there.
I know.
I remember this was 19 years ago. I started pastoring here in January, and you know, this past January made 20 years, and we started building our house in October. And I remember by December we broke ground in October, the end of October, going into November, we broke ground, and Zarna had got everything started and got it built, and it was standing there. And the outside was done, and they were starting to hang sheetrock on the inside. And I remember 5 days before Christmas, they called all of us out there and said, "By Christmas, you're out of a job." I was in the middle of building my house. I was 27 years old. But you know, I did not have enough sense to be worried about that. I never worried about that. It would wire me out today. It would. I mean, I'd be scared to death if I was in the middle of building a house and I lost my job. I'd be scared to death. But I wasn't scared. I was disappointed and I was aggravated, but it didn't trouble me. Remember, I told you I know more about pastoring when I come down here than I do now some days. There's some things that I wish that I would retain when I was from my young life. But I've watched life. And here's the funny thing. You know, I've seen God move for me over and over and over again. But yet there's just times that I struggle more and more. And I don't know why that is. I know the book's true. I know when trouble comes that He's not going to leave me. He's not going to let me face that trouble alone. I understand that. I know that the Bible said in Psalms 37, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. I believe that. Because I'm His. I mean, I mean, He's not going to let me drown in trouble. He's not going to do it. Especially if it's trouble that, listen, friend, that I didn't bring on. You know, there's some trouble we bring on ourselves, ain't it? And you know, the great thing about the Lord is even if it is trouble that we've brought on, if we'll go to Him and say, "Lord, I've made a mess of this thing. Would You help me?" I believe He's faithful to help us. Now, we're going to have to reap out some things. But listen, He said in Psalms 46, He said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters are of roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah." He said, "No matter if the earth falls apart, I'm not going to fear or be troubled by it." That's amazing, ain't it? You know, David said, "What time I am afraid, I'll trust in the Lord." It brings fear sometimes. Trouble brings fear. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle this situation. Sometimes it comes on us quickly, don't it? Fear comes on us quickly. I remember the night that my colon ruptured, fear came on me quickly. But I didn't know what was going on. I knew my diverticulitis at the time was messed up, but by 10 after 7, and I was sending my wife, she come on, and you all were singing in the choir that night, and I believe I had Brother Roberts preaching for us that evening, and I called him in the day, said, "You're going to preach for me tonight," and he come and preach. But I remember I was sending one text at a time. I didn't want to call her, mess everything up in church, but I'd send one text at a time so that it would rattle off. You know, I said, "Hey, you need to call me." And I sent out, "Hey, sin, you sin, need sin." You know, that's how I was sending it. That way it would continue to die. I should have called her is what I should have done. Amen. But I was getting a little fearful about what was going on in my body. Because, I mean, not only was I hurting, extremely hurting, but I was beginning to hurt up through here. And I was hurting up this side of my body and into my right shoulder. And that's just a dead giveaway for them. They said that your colon had ruptured, you know.
Not only was you hurting here, but all that air was leaking out and following your... This is what the doctor said in the emergency room. He said it's following all your nerves and all those muscles and all those channels right up through there. And he said, that's why you're hurting up in here. All that air had collected. I never was so glad when they figured out what was going on. And they gave me some medicine, brother. I'm telling you. I think Athens is a good first aid station, but I sure was glad to get there. Some of y'all understand what I'm talking about. I was proud to be at the hospital, so I needed some help. But you know what? The Lord is the one. What did He say right here? He said, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with... You know, there's nothing we can do about all that. There's not a thing we can do about that. But David said He's a very present help in time of trouble. The Lord, in Psalm chapter 20, He said, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. He hears us. I mean, that's why we have the throne of grace. We come and gather up. If you ever just gathered up around the altar, maybe at home, maybe here, maybe somewhere else, and say, Lord, I don't know how to fix this. We're just in a time of trouble. Listen, would you please help me right here? Again, I go back to Hannah. And that's what she done. That thing was wearing her out. It wore her out. And she finally just took it to the Lord. She finally just took it to the Lord. I remember years ago, you want to talk about right here, Brother Marvin. You want to talk about when the Bible says there's no new thing under the sun. I remember preaching on Hannah years ago when Brother Ted was still alive at Open Door. And I remember he'd had me come. I believe I was up there on the night of when we had homecoming here. And I went up and preached for him. And I remember preaching on Hannah. Out of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I laid that whole outline out. And I remember where I got that outline from. I set up in our single wide trailer before we built our home. I was in the living room one night at 1 o'clock in the morning. Sitting in the floor, leaned up on the back side of the couch. And I, on the front side, and I was sitting there on the floor just reading that. And as God gave me that, I was just writing it down. And I remember when we got done, Brother Ted brought me his Bible and opened it up. And he showed it to me. And it was the same points now. And he didn't write them out while I was preaching. He already had them in there, and he had more than I did. Amen. There's no new thing under the sun. I thought I'd throw that in there for the next thing. We think we're really getting something sometimes, as preachers do. And you open up a book, it's got an outline in it. There's the one you've been preaching all the time. You know. But He'll help us in our time of trouble. It's in our time of trouble when our faith seems to get weak, don't it? If we're not careful. Number two, He'll help us with our faith. You remember what His disciples said in Luke chapter 7? Preaching on Him being our help. Listen, He said that we can come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. He helps us with our faith. What was it? Luke 17. And the apostles said unto Him, Lord, increase our faith. How many times has our faith got weak along the way? Now, I know not everybody's does, and thank God for you. But every now and again, my faith will get a little weak along this path. I wonder where God's at. You're going to show up? Or you going to come by? Listen, I'm glad. And listen, the great thing about it is you know, what helps me is to realize that He's faithful. You know what helps my faith more than anything is to know He's faithful. I mean, not only is that His name, Revelation 19, Revelation 3, I said His name was faithful and true, but what helps my faith is He's always been faithful. I find Him faithful in this book. What was it? He said, so then faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I know that's talking about salvation. I understand what that whole text is talking about. But it still works for us today that when we hear the Word of God, it ought to increase our faith. You should be able to believe this book and trust that book. How many of you can look back over your life and look and see where God's been faithful to you? That ought to help you. That ought to help you the next time that you face trouble and you need help to know that He's going to be faithful. That should increase your faith. That should increase my faith. Has He not always been faithful to you? Has He not always helped you through temptation?
As we've seen last week, temptation is not always necessarily that are we talking about sin, and it does mean that, but it also means a trial sometimes that we go through. Has He not always been faithful on that thing? Whether it is a sin that Satan is trying to attract you with, or your flesh is drawing against you in James chapter 1, but then the trials and tribulation, has He not always been faithful? You know, we come to church a lot of times on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all everybody does is puts a smile on sometimes, and we don't think anybody's got any problems, troubles, aggravations, or anything, and especially if they don't give a prayer request on Wednesday night. We think everybody's got everything figured out, and that you're the only one living like you're living, and you're the only one struggling, and you're the only one that your faith is weak, and you're the only one that don't understand what's going on in life. And you've got to understand, that's why He gave us the throne of grace. Why? He said that we can obtain mercy and find grace to what? Help in a time of need. You know what that tells me? We're going to have a time of need. And we're going to need mercy and grace. I listened to a fellow the other day. I listened to him testify. And he talked about when his mother died. And and I've heard more than one person say this. He said, "I was going to hate that." He said, I knew when that day was coming that he said, "I felt and knew that I was just going to fall to pieces when Mama died." Can I tell you, your preacher does not know what that's like. I've still got Mama. My aunt went to the doctor the other day. She's almost 80 years old. And while she was at the doctor's office, she was still talking about having her mother. And that's my grandmother. My grandmother is 95 years old. And my aunt is almost 80 years old. She's not hardly there, but she's almost there. And the doctor stopped her and said, "Do what?" She's talking about her mama. She says, he stopped, shook his head, and said, "You know, most people your age don't have their mother." She said, "I know. But you know what? I know that some of you all have been in that place. You've been to the funeral home. You've had to make arrangements. And you've had to say goodbye to Mama." And you know, he said, "I just knew that I was going to fall apart because I love Mama." I'll be honest with you. Every one of us sort of love our mom and dad. But boy, if you had one that loved God, two things right there. Well, you really ought to love her. But two, if you're saved, you'll see her again. You don't have to worry about that. And I believe that with all my heart today. But listen, he said, I just, you know, as she passed away and we had her funeral, and it broke his heart. He said, "But you know what?" He said, "God showed up. And He helped me through that time." And he said, then Daddy got sick. And he said, Daddy was sick for probably 6 or 7 years. And he said, "I could see that time coming." And he said, "I thought I was going to fall apart again." But he said, God was so evident during that time. I'm glad that God can come by when our faith, when we don't know what to do and how to do it, and listen, you know, that's what Romans 8 talks about over there, the Holy Spirit, how that it intercedes for us when we don't even know how to pray. He knows how to pray. He says that's really what that's talking about. He intercedes for us when we don't even know how to pray. He knows what we need when we don't even know. But God will help you faith. Maybe you're struggling with faith this morning. Trouble has got you beat down and you just don't know how to believe God and trust God and say, "Just Lord, I just need some help with my faith. I know I'm saved. I know You've helped me in the past." And let me say this. If you've never seen God help you in your life, you ought to just continue to put your faith in Him and He'll help you. You know what helps my faith more than anything? Not only has He been faithful to me, but He's been faithful, and that's to answer my prayers. That keeps me wanting to pray. You know, if I went every time I went, and I never heard from heaven, I never seen heaven move, I never seen any of those. I mean, I would really begin to wonder about some things. But you know why I go back? Because every now and again, I get to see Him move because I ask Him.
But He's my help. He's helped my faith. How about yours? He's a help in that in discernment. You know, when you don't know what to do. And there's going to be times, you know, like I said, we come in here on Sundays and Sunday nights and Wednesdays and we see each other. And a lot of times we think everybody's got it figured out. You know, discernment is having that direction from the Lord. You know, that's all Solomon wanted in 1 Kings chapter 3, wasn't it? He said, I'm like a little child. I don't even know how to go out and come in. But he said, if you'll give me some discernment, I'll know what to do. You know, the Bible said in James chapter 1, if any man like wisdom, he said, let him ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he shall be given him. You know, he said, let us therefore come boldly in the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Sometimes you need some discernment and some direction to know what to do. You know, it's pretty easy when you're on one path and it's headed down this road and there's no ways off of it. Pretty easy, ain't it? I mean, we're just traveling right along, serving the Lord. Driving down the road, suffering for Jesus, you know, a lot of times, as the evangelist says. We're just driving. But you know, it's sometimes these exits, we got to be a little careful with them exits because we're liable to get off at the wrong place. But the big deal is when you come up and you get right in the middle of the road and now all of a sudden the road's doing this. Now what are we going to do? We can't keep traveling on the same road that we were on. We've got to make a decision. We've got to figure out what's going on. We've got to have some direction in that from the Lord. We need some discernment and that from God. Do you pray about things in your life? Do you pray about direction in your life? Do you pray? I'm just asking, do you pray about stuff or do we just all live on happenstance? Or all just willy-nilly pick this direction here? I think God can make it plain what we needed to do and what we need to do. He makes it plain. I mean, I'm glad He can give us that feeling in our heart. I'm glad He can do that. That says, this is what you need to do. Now, you better be very careful about that sometimes because Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful. You've got to be careful. I've heard people say, God told me to do this and it was in direct contradiction to the Word of God, and I think they believe that, but I'm just telling you, when I believe this book over what anybody tells me. If you need help from the Word of God, I'm glad 1 Corinthians 2 says, you know, it's the spiritual man. You know, this book, well, let me look at it. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. Ain't that where we need to be at? I believe that's the verse I'm wanting to quote. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's why the world, one, they don't understand us because we know God and we try to live for God. But listen, they're not going to grasp this book. When you read this with a fleshly mind and a fleshly outset, yes, you can glean things out of it, but you're not going to get what God's wanting you to see out of it. No, when you go with it with a fleshly mindset. When you say, Lord, give me some help with this. I need some help in knowing what you want me to know out of this book. I'm talking to saved people, okay? Well, if you want to know what this book is telling you, you're going to have to read it. You're going to have to pray and say, Lord, would you give me some discernment on this thing? Always one thing I try to pray. When I sit down to read, especially to study, I say, Lord, would you give me what they need and give me what I need? And I always say, would you show me something new? And you know, He generally does a lot of times. He'll show me something that I ain't seen before. You know, this book is the only one that'll do that to you, ain't it? It becomes alive, don't it? And it is alive.
But when you need discernment to know what to do in your life, I'm glad the Lord can give you peace in your heart of what you need to do. But I'm going to tell you, we're probably not going to find it outside this book right here. If you need to know what to do, just begin to read. Say, Lord, would you direct me in the Scripture? And let me say this, sometimes you know what to do. You just need to do it.
Amen.
Amen. You know, but if you don't know what to do, then you open the book, you read it, and say, Lord, give me some instruction. I need some help to know what to do. Would you give me some? Give me some Scripture right here. I asked the Lord to do that one time. I said, Lord, I need some Scripture to help me get through this right here. I'd say I hadn't prayed that no more than 5 seconds, Proverbs 3. Verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Lord, is that really what you wanted me to get? That really ain't what I was wanting, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to... That ain't what I was looking for. I was wanting something a little more substantial there to give me a little more direction. You ever been there? I'm being honest now. He said, just trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own understanding. But He'll help us with our faith. He'll help us in trouble. But He'll help us with discernment. And last of all, He'll help us in our work and our labor. Do you know to labor for the Lord, you're going to face trouble. To labor for the Lord, you're going to have faith. And you're going to have direction in your life to labor for Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, after he talks about that one plants and one waters, but God giveth the increase, he said this, for we are laborers together with God. You know, He labors with us. He helps us. He helps us. He helps us to bear up under the load. Now, how many of you are laboring for the Lord? How many of you are working? How many of you are living? I hope you are, and I believe most are here. I hope you are. And listen, but laboring for Him, doing for Him, serving Him like we should. You know, Brother Jeff talked about that in Sunday school this morning about in the book of Proverbs chapter 24. Brother, if that's the worst you ever do, we're in good shape, man. I remember I was talking to Brother Caldwell the other day. He said, preacher, he said, if you would have heard some of the messages I preached when I was a young preacher, he said it was pitiful. I always said, we not only misquoted the Bible, we said things was in the Bible when they weren't there. We'd heard other preachers say they was in there, so they must have been, you know. But our labor, we're laborers together with God. You know, there's a work to do for Christ. Can I tell you that it starts in your home and works out? There's labor in your home that needs to be done for Christ. And it works out into your community and into your family and into this church and into the community this church is about. But it all starts at home. Our labor for Christ starts at home. It starts with us reading our Bible and praying and listening and having a devotion time with Him and raising your children in Christ and all those things. And He'll give us strength. You know, He'll give us strength. I've always said that preachers ought to go preach at the nursing home to where you can't go see, where you don't see no fruit. You don't see a lot of fruit at the nursing home. I'm not saying there ain't none there. I'm saying you just don't see it that much. Now, every now and again, I'm going to tell you something. I believe it was 9 years, Sister Margie, before we ever seen anybody saved at the nursing home. 9 years. Boy, he just kept preaching. Just kept preaching and preaching. And now, I'm talking about what I saw. Now, I don't know what happened in other times. I'm talking about what I saw and what I got to be part of. But I know this, that I would sit there and as I would go around and talk to some of them old saints over there, and boy, they just begin to tell you that that helped me. You know, I still carry it. And y'all know this. I carry this. For a couple reasons. You know, that's so that I wouldn't forget if I ever lost my mind. I wrote on the back of it who gave it to me, but that was given to me by Miss Tammy at the nursing home. And I still carry this everywhere I go.
because I was in such a bad spot for a while about whether I ought to be at the nursing home or not be at the nursing home. Just wasn't seeing anything going on at the nursing home. And preacher, I just said, Lord, would you... I remember sitting in my study that Thursday night. I was getting ready to go on Friday morning. And I'd go over there and sing for 20 minutes and preach for 10. I always said they loved the singing far more than they loved the preaching. That's how they were Baptist. You know, it's all right. I'm just having fun. Y'all know that. But let me say this. If you shout in the singing, you're able to shout in the preaching. Amen. But you know, I said, Lord, just let somebody tell me that I've helped them. But I can't remember exactly how I worded it. But I just needed some help from somebody. And really, I thought they would tell me face to face. And as she wrote, Dear Mark and Kelly, I hope you and your family have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And you have to realize, and I'm going to read the rest of it, but you got to realize when I come in that day, most of y'all know this story, she handed me that card, put it in an envelope, and I just slid it in my Bible. And I didn't read it. And so I was really expecting, before I left, having my guitar in one hand and my Bible in the other. And I remember when I got done, nobody said nothing. And I went and visited. And nobody said nothing. And I remember leaving my guitar up there at the front desk and nobody said nothing. And I remember picking it up on the way out and I was very, very disheartened. I was. I mean, all I wanted was somebody to tell me, Brother, we appreciate you today. Or, Brother, we're so glad you come. That was a blessing to me. Or, that was a help. And after she wanted me and Kelly to have a Merry Christmas, she said, Mark, you have been a blessing to me. He says, you preach some good services. And then she said it again, you are a blessing to me. And I remember when I got home, that was on a Friday. It probably was not until after that Sunday. It was sometimes that next week that I was flipping through my Bible and I seen that card there. And I remember opening the envelope up and I thought, you know, I need to look at what Tammy wrote me. I just need to look at that. And I pulled that card out and I looked at the front of it and just the Merry Christmas cards, all it was. And she had wrote it to me and handed it to me. That was the first thing I received when I walked in the door. Now think about that for just a second. What I was looking for the whole time, I was holding in my hand the whole time. I just didn't know it. Ain't that the Lord for you? Sometimes He puts stuff in our hand, we don't even know it, you know. I remember sitting in my study when I opened that and I just, it dawned on me, the Lord, the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and said, see, you had that all the time. That's why He said in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well doing for due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Now, Tammy's done went on to heaven now. COVID got her. But she done went on to heaven. And she was always faithful to come. Listen, y'all know that church when we went over there, when that let us come in, she was always there, wasn't she? Always wanted to sing. Can I tell you, Hebrews chapter 6 said, For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. He said, He's not unfaithful to forget what you've done. We think He forgets sometimes. We think He ain't writing this stuff down or that He remembers. But He's our help during that time. But He's not unfaithful to forget what we're doing for Him. He helps us. He helps us. Aren't you glad that He's your help? He's your help. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on and talk about how He's helped and how He's been faithful and how He's watched over and took care of and showed up when we didn't even ask Him to. But He's a help. He's the help. Some of y'all might need help this morning. Let's bow our heads if we would across the house.